Welcome back to the Insert Name Here podcast, brought to you by the Flanagan Group in Joplin, Missouri. Join us each week for updates in real estate, community outreach, and a peek into the daily life of Joplin. So, grab a drink, kick up your feet, let's learn together.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Insert Name Here podcast. My name is Ryan Flanagan with the Flanagan Group, and I have the one, the only, the amazing Kimusabi. I've got Cody Walker on, and Cody Walker has been an amazing friend of mine for a lot of years, and he leads an amazing church here in town, Hope City. If you have not been to Hope City, you're missing quite the experience they've built over the years, and just really, he's always been such a wonderful person for encouragement. And as we look into the season where we are and resolutions and just a lot's been going on in the faith world and spiritual world, if you will. And, I'm hoping that you can help guide us a little bit into what it looks like to maybe set some goals with God, set some goals with yourself. And then I also want to learn a little bit more. I know a lot of the journey where you guys been as a church, but where you've been, where you're at, and where you're going. So, Cody Walker.
Yeah, well, for those, most people don't know this. You guys sold us our first home when we moved back here to Toppin' the Pales.
I love it.
Yeah.
I remember meeting you guys. I remember.
That's how we met you, yeah.
Yeah, the first home we looked at was up on Kingsdale, I think.
Yeah,
a big,
wow.
Big monstrosity that was rebuilt. You guys ended up settling in the Sunnyvale area.
Yep.
And what a great home that had been for you guys. And then since then you guys, sold that one and then moved into a new home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there was a point in that process, which maybe there isn't every process, but where I thought, yeah, Kim or Ryan, one are going to just fire us as people who cannot decide on a house. So you guys were super patient.
Not true at all. No, I think that's a part of the fun with anybody we get to work with is, maybe sometimes we, maybe carry a little bit of knowledge, and I'm sure you do in the pastoral world as well, where you're like, but it's a process that of helping people also discover what they want.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. That's like life changing.
Can't rush that.
No. Yeah,
can't rush that. So, and yeah, I love to get to know you, Rachel, your kids, and it was a good process.
I think we were. August was 11 years press that we moved back, and Hope City will celebrate 10 years this April.
10 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is just amazing to me because, gosh, I remember, I think I was a part of the first kind of volunteer squad. Yeah. We were at Victory.
Yep.
Victory Ministry. Tell us a little bit about, let's just get into Hope City a little bit, and then we'll talk a little bit more about, some things that people can help themselves with or that God can help in them, some of those things. But started at Victory almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And tell me what that looks like. I mean, how many people showed up? Did you guys launch on Easter?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, that journey was wild because we both grew up in the area and have moved away to do ministry. And so coming back to Joplin, I think for us, what we love Joplin, we love Southwest Missouri, but we just had not, that was not on the horizon. And so got a call from Mark Christian out of Christ Church of Warnogo and said, man, would you guys be interested in planting a church? And we were like, well, I don't know if Joplin needs any more churches. Like, they've got plenty of churches, but my mom had lived here during the tornado, and the tornado obviously changed everything. And so
sure.
Churches that were, once had kind of a robust membership, that membership had changed or they were maybe fatigued or their resources were depleted. And so the landscape was completely changing.
Yeah.
And so that was in 2013 when we were asked to do that. And so as we began to pray, we're like, man, with the landscape changing here in Southwest Missouri, our heart for Joplin being from here, we think this might be something that could not only be needed, but it could be a really, really cool thing. And so we even go back all the way to talk about just the name Hope City, obviously the iconic part that everybody remembers looking back to at the high school there was the duct tape on the sign that said Hope High School. And it just, we said, man, what's something that resonates with people, whether they're religious or not. And that's hope. Everybody's looking for hope. And so, that was kind of where the name came from and originated from. And then
thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a documentary. They had one last night at the Web City Theater. Sorry for those listening. That's last week plus a night. Yep. It was called The Butterfly People.
Yeah.
And it talked a lot about that journey through the tornado. It was a local filmmaker. But I saw that sign again. I almost forgot about that sign that Joplin High School had. And that was a neat, it stood there for a long time.
Well, and really, I mean, it was a beacon, you know, to say, hey, this is going to be really difficult. And which, yeah, we'll get into, but that's kind of what this year for our church, kind of what we're going after. But started at Victory, ended up moving to the high school.
Yeah.
Where we were in the Performing Arts Center there, which was awesome. The high school was so good to us, man. They were, you know, everybody says, man, you know, people have a hard time playing together. We did not experience that. The school was just really a huge blessing to us and great people in the school there. And so that was an adventure too. I remember we always talk about one Sunday, we got to the Performing Arts Center and the band was getting ready on a Sunday morning for a trip. And so we're like, trying to figure out how to do portable church, and the band in their uniforms, like in the lobby, like getting ready to load up on buses. It was an adventure, man. It was wild because we were nomads, you know, trying to figure out what
to
like.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to go out to the pods every morning, pull all this stuff out.
Yeah, man,
set up every day.
It was wild.
Chairs in, chairs out. I mean, it was cool, and it was. It created this. This kind of culture that I think still holds today of just this really knit of people that are really passionate about God and obviously are standing behind what Hope City's doing and the church, and it has just flourished. So I don't know if you recall, I mean, this may be going back, but I remember it was an egg drop with a helicopter and the whole nine yards. So I don't even know how you keep track of the kind of people that showed up there.
Yeah.
What was rough numbers? Did you have 400 people after that first service?
Yeah, that gathering we had I think between 400 and 500, and we had I was full time and we had 2 part time staff, and so we really, I mean, the beauty of that, you know, a lot of people think through that and they're like, man, were you overwhelmed? And I'm like, well, yeah, but when you're so overwhelmed that you can't really do anything, you're like, you just kind of go, all right,
got with it.
Yeah, man, here you go. And so I think it allowed our folks to have an incredible amount of ownership. Because sometimes we you know, we do too much. Like, people don't want to, I don't think when it comes to their faith, people want to just attend. I think they want to own it. They want to be able to engage and make sure that it's effective. And so it kind of created that culture from the get-go.
It did. Yeah. It did. It really did. So 400 there. You guys have steadily grown as you, you know, started at Victory. Was the move to the high school, and this, I never asked you this question, was the move to the high school based out of a space need? And so you grew from there?
Yeah. So for those who had been on the venue side of Victory, they knew there was, you know, when we were in there, there was the big cafe, which was a killer bar area.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really awesome, but it limited seating to about 200. And so we were doing, at that time, 3 gatherings, and we needed to really create more space. And so we could have probably tried to do it there logistically. It would have been hard. And so with the Performing Arts Center having a stage, seats, they let us keep our lighting up in the in the system there, the theater system of the school, so we didn't have to set up and tear it down every week. So it created some relief for us with some volunteers who were starting to get a little bit taxed, but we were still portable. But man, it, you know, that's a great space.
Yeah, that's awesome. So moving from there, you know, I'm just going to throw a timeline, you know. Was that 2017?
Yeah.
2017, you were there. Gosh, I remember, I'm reminiscing.
Yeah.
I remember a church, a Christmas Eve service that we didn't really have a place to go, and we ended up at, what park is that?
It's Mercy Park there.
Mercy Park, yeah. And it was really intimate.
It was
and
cool.
Small, yeah. And we sang around in a circle, and there were maybe, I don't know, 50 people there.
Yeah, it was wild. Lit candles, it was freezing cold.
It was so cold. I remember I convinced my parents to go to that one. I was thankful they did.
Yeah.
So moved to the high school, numbers grew a little bit. Where were you guys sitting around then?
We had about 600 people coming, 650 maybe, and we knew at some point we were going to have a home because the high school was generous, but you know, we they were accommodating, but we did the best we could. We didn't always make it easiest on them because, you know, our stuff was there and,
sure.
And, but they were super grateful, that, you know, we would kind of do extra stuff for them so that they wouldn't kick us out, you know, yeah. for being a pain in the butt. But yeah. We had a conversation that was kind of wild. I mean, this is, I don't know how many people do this. You probably have heard a million of these stories, but for us, it was really unique. We called an older couple who didn't have, even property for sale at that time. But we knew about the location and, said, hey, we're looking to figure out how to build a church on some property. And they were, super gracious to sit down and visit through it. And I think, you know, looking back on that, you know, you said it in the very beginning, but you know, a church family needs a home too. And that process is just so, it's intense, you know, of finding a location, finding a home where you're going to land. I mean, you know, your guys' offices here are beautiful, you know, this has been, I'm sure a huge blessing to you guys, but that journey of getting to that point.
Yeah.
So as a church, we were kind of on this journey. So I remember we announced that this family was going to sell us 22 acres.
Yeah.
And, man, that was a big day of celebration for our church family. So,
yeah, absolutely.
We built,
tents out, get some
tents out, shovels, groundbreaking.
Yeah, groundbreaking. It was cold that day.
It was.
Maybe rained.
We do a lot in the cold at Philly. I don't know. Timing is not great on our end. Yeah. So we ended up building, about a 36,000 square foot, building. And, you know, at that time, cause a lot of people said, well, you know, what made you build? Well, you know, post tornado, a lot of the spaces that were usable had been gobbled up.
Sure.
And so trying to find something that we could even remodel at that time was really hard.
Man.
And so, and construction prices were a little lower. And so it ended up being the best thing for us to do. And it, it gave us a great location out there now, where Quick Trip is.
Yeah.
We should have paid some endorsement money to them or something, but coming out and building
that's you know, right.
by the property.
Yeah, well, and I think you guys were really targeting that area. There weren't a whole other lot of areas that you were looking at the time, if I recall. And it's amazing how things line up, and you know, a lot of that's God. So
yeah, for sure,
which is awesome. So you built your did you say 35?
Yeah,
35,000 square foot building, which was a great place. When was that complete?
I believe 2017. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And then.
July of this last year, 2023, we doubled our square footage. So we got into a new venue, expanded, and it's been huge.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen it or unfamiliar, if you're on 249, right where 32nd kind of goes into, is it S or FF?
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of turns there where you're headed toward the industrial park. Yeah, it sits back there. It's kind of a beacon as you pull in from the south, right there up on the hill. It's a beautiful spot, beautiful building, and it's done a lot of great things. I remember, I think it was the 2020 vision you were casting at the time about kind of getting a separate use space. I think the plans changed as far as the dynamic of how it would look, but I think what you guys did was amazing how you were able to build a larger gathering area, and then you were able to use the current gathering area for that use space that you were desiring.
Yeah, you know, at first, the idea was to create use space, and then we had some growth quicker than we had anticipated, and it changed the plans because we knew if we built that, we were going to have greater problems, and so
sure.
But yeah, it kind of solved several different challenges we had, and so it's been a huge blessing, huge win.
That's awesome. And then through that vision as well, the expansion, we call it expansion in the real estate world, but it's church planting happened as well.
And yeah.
You guys launched a church in Northwest Arkansas.
We did. Yeah. That's so the planter we had been talking to was, we had that conversation before COVID, and COVID hit, and we're like, well, we think God hasn't said we're not supposed to do this. He hasn't hit the brakes. We think you're still a guy. The question is whether or not you guys are willing to pick up your family and move in the middle of COVID and try to start community when everybody was banished to their homes, you know? So, and they said, yeah, we haven't heard anything different from the Lord. We think this is supposed to happen. And so they moved in, the middle of all that down, to Fayetteville and began the very beginnings. What now they're a year and a half in to Hope City down in Arkansas. So
Wow. Yeah, it's awesome. So, and I'm sure that's growing down there and doing good things. And
yeah, we're hoping, they've got some goals this year that are pretty exciting, aggressive, but we're hoping that they, are up and at them where we're able to continue to expand in Arkansas with hopefully another location here, maybe in this next year. So
awesome.
Yeah.
That's super exciting.
It's fun.
Guys, if you haven't checked it out, I mean, they have so many great platforms. Sometimes, you know, when it's cold outside or I'm feeling lazy, I'll just pop it on Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Experiencehopecity.org?
It is .city.
.city.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Experiencehopecity.city.
Experiencehope.city.
Experiencehope.city.
Well, what's funny is it used to be experiencehopecity.org.
Yeah. Okay.
You're OG. You had the original address, and so it's changed now to experiencehope.city. Yeah.
Awesome. So, really amazing. I mean, it is a world class. I say experience. I mean, you don't hear the from the music to the message to the just the community itself. It's really amazing. You guys have done a great job in there. And I know you probably don't want this, but you guys were recognized as one of the fastest growing churches in the world.
Yeah.
At one point, right?
You know, I think that Outreach Magazine puts out kind of fastest top 100 growing churches, and that there was an element of that where we're like, man, how cool. Joplin, you know, Southwest Missouri. We love Joplin, but just to see that recognized, you know, certainly nationally was a huge win. I think with that, you know, and everybody knows this, anybody who's leading anything knows, with that growth comes crazy challenges, crazy difficulties. And, you know, you asked Ryan, man, you know, what's this look like for the new year? You guys been talking about this, resolutions. One of the things we're kind of seeing as right now as a church and the season we're going into is what's it look like to really not just step into hard stuff, because most of us don't have a choice. We just find ourselves in difficult situations.
Yeah.
But what's it look like to embrace that and allow it to shape us for the better? And so even now, you know, just like you would if you had started a business, you know, 10 years ago, about 10 years in, you start to look back and you're like, okay, what went really well? Mm-hmm. What would we have done different? What if we could do it again, you know, would we have changed? And how do you take the past and then allow that to shape you so that as you move forward for what the future looks like, man, not allow that to control your identity, but allow it to shape how you think moving forward. So you don't make some of the same mistakes, you know, I mean, with fast growth comes incredible stress, comes strain. You know, we experience strain in almost every way possible, you know, major construction projects within a 6-year period is incredibly stressful. And, you know, in all of that, you know, the finances of going, man, God, we're just asking you to provide for the vision that you've called us to. In all of that, I think it gives you a chance to go, okay, how is this shaping me, you know, good and bad?
Sure.
And so we've been talking about a little bit about Romans 5 going into the new year. And Romans 5 says that I believe that my current sufferings will bring this glory in me. And so a couple weeks ago, I was talking to the Missouri Southern basketball team, and they've got their focus on is obviously on a huge physical focus, but they're also a huge mental focus. And Coach McMahon there has done a good job of saying, guys, you need to make sure that you're fostering your spiritual lives too, and whatever that looks like for each of you. And I just challenged them with that same thing that God is teaching us in the church in Romans 5, and going, man, what's it look like for suffering in our lives to produce perseverance?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of us, when we get in the midst of suffering, the doubt, the self-doubt, the, man, are we doing the right thing? You know, do I wave the white flag? Can I get up off the mat? Like, all these things as you hit challenges and adversity come into play. And so, you know, looking at our folks right now going, all right, here's the deal. We're in a culture and a climate, and this is a political year. we're all these dynamics are at play. And the question is, when difficulty comes, how is that, not only how is it going to shape you, but are you going to allow God to teach you through that, what he's trying to form in you and create you to be? And so there's no doubt this year, you know, just like last year. I mean, I talked to a lot of people last year who said, man, 2023 kicked my rear, you know. Right. And probably more people than I've talked to. I mean, even in COVID, I think people were still like, we have no idea what this is going to, you know, play out to look like. But last year seemed to be hard for a lot of people. And whether that was coincident or not, I don't think it was coincidence, but I think a lot of the stuff that we've been navigating culminated, and a lot of us found ourselves just facing a lot of difficulty and hardship in a lot of different ways, relationally, economically, whatever that looks like. So this Romans 5 passage says, okay, if you're able to endure the suffering, the way it produces glory is it does this work of character and you're building in your life. And I had a guy much older than me, mentor, wisdom, that told me, hey, you're never done working on your character. And I think part of what we teach, obviously, at Hope City and what we teach from a spiritual standpoint is that's the work that God's doing on you, that you can't just pick up a book and read. You right. know, most of us are picking up books and going, man, what is it I can learn? What is it I can you know, consume so that I can put into practice? But the character stuff, there's stuff you can learn, but a lot of that shaping is happened through that forging of the fire of going, man, I've been through some difficulty, and it's shaping me. And so I always say, you know, a lot of our difficulty, a lot of our suffering, it's like I would not choose to do it again, but I also wouldn't take back what I've learned from it.
Sure.
I wouldn't want to do it again.
Right.
But what I've learned from it, and I think we would say the same thing, you know, over the last 10 years, man, there's been some challenges. Anytime you grow rapidly, anytime you're in a setting where, especially spiritually, where there's spiritual opposition, even where growth is happening, and there's some difficulty that comes with it. And so, yeah, that's one of the things we're talking about as we get into 2023 is how do we step into suffering and kind of in a way embrace it to allow it to form and shape us into who God's called us to be.
Love that. Yeah. And sometimes you have to sit in it. I had talked to somebody else about this, and they put a rephrasing of the word patience. So one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience.
Okay.
And they said the King James Version actually calls it long suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole another meaning of patience to me. And so it seems like you said, a lot of people are in that season of where it feels like this long suffering, but that in and of itself is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's allowing you to kind of move to that next chapter that God's calling you to do, or whatever that looks like. So.
Yeah, long suffering describes it a lot better.
Yeah. Well, then you think of the Spirit of God, and how long has He waited on His people to just love Him and respond in according to? I mean, it's written all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament. But I
think, you know, one of the things we forget, we know this tangibly in our practical lives, but we forget this in our spiritual lives. Anything worth its weight is going to be difficult. Like, and so a lot of us, I think, avoid this, you know, and again, this is what we're talking about at Hope City right now. A lot of us avoid some of the spiritual pain. And when I say spiritual pain, the wounds that have come in our lives, whether self-inflicted or inflicted by others, a lot of us avoid that because it's difficult to walk through that. So we just kind of mask that pain with whatever. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, if we're willing to step into that, God is going, hey, one of the things I specialize in is taking bad situations and showing that I can still do something good in it.
Yeah.
Whether or not, you know, we don't believe that God's creating hardship for us, but I do think He allows it because He knows there's actually something better, Cody, that's going to come in your life through difficulty. Because when things are going really well, you don't rely on me like you do when things aren't going well.
Right.
When things are going well, you start to ask questions, and that's a good thing, you know, instead of just coasting.
Ah, what a good perspective in that. So, well, gosh, I mean, I would say that's one thing folks can do is start tuning in, start getting into the Word, start allowing God to shape them in some of these challenging times. Anything else we can share just from a resolution side? Like, I know people can set the tone, like, I'm going to open my Bible up every day, keep my streak going. I got my streak going.
Yeah.
By golly. Or get into plans. Or I know at Hope City, they're doing small groups right now. And so these are really good ways to kind of even take baby steps in the faith and understand, you know, who God is and what God has the power to do, which is anything.
Yeah, one of the things that I think is just a great question, because I love the new year. I'm a big, you know, people are like, New Year's resolutions are dumb. You know, like, I love them. And I barely keep them. Like, but I don't even care. Like, I just, I love new starts. I love new beginnings. And I think one of the things that I've been asking myself, but really challenging the folks around me with is what are you feeding? Like, what in your life are you giving attention and feeding? And so to me, the answer to that, at some level, you've got to feed yourself spiritually. And if you're neglecting your spiritual life, then it is going to take a toll. And so I've asked myself that, man, what am I feeding myself spiritually? And I heard a person say one time, and I've edited this statement because there's some things about it that I'm like, well, wait a second. You know, somebody said, you know, healthy things grow. And I'm like, well, unhealthy things grow too. You know, like anybody who's ever navigated cancer knows, like, there's unhealthy stuff that grows.
Yeah.
And so whatever we're feeding is going to grow in us. And so I think that's, you know, what you want the product of that growth to be is going to depend on what you're feeding yourself. And so one of the things that I openly confess to everybody around me is I'm addicted to Dr. Pepper. Like, I love it. I'm not.
Have you tried Dr. Thunder yet?
Oh, it is. I will drink it if I have to, if I'm in a foreign country. But I'm telling you, like if somebody dangles a Dr. Pepper in front of my face, like, I'm at their mercy. Right. Like, yeah. And so, but there's some things that I'm going, okay, what, you know, and this is super small, but what is it that I'm feeding myself that is going to produce what I actually want my life to produce? And the reality is, you know, you mentioned it, whether it's impatience, you know, you go through the fruit of the Spirit. Usually when I look at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, it's pretty easily to be convicted. And so, yeah. Golly, I mean, impatience, bitterness, you know, these things that start to take root in my life. And if you allow people to dictate the product of your life, it's probably not going to be the fuel, you know, but if you allow God and the Word to dictate that, I think without a doubt, He gives us a better way to do life. I believe that wholeheartedly. And I've seen that in my own life. So I think that's the question is, man, what are you feeding yourself? And you mentioned, you know, whether it's the Word of God, whether you're spending time with others who are going to keep you accountable in the faith, encourage you spiritually. I need it all because spiritually, man, you know, I get distracted super easily.
Yeah. Well, see, I appreciate your vulnerability in that because, you know, I think unfairly we prop a pastor up on a pedestal and think that, you know, you're not human anymore. Mm. And, you know, you have to, you know, wear this perfect life or whatever. And that's just unfair to ask of anybody. But I appreciate that because, I mean, this is coming directly from somebody that leads a lot of people in God's wisdom. And but you need to feed that. Everybody needs to feed that. Mm. And so I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
That's important.
Well, I think ultimately those two things are, man, two of the questions that have helped me establish what this year can potentially look like. You know, what am I feeding myself? And then am I willing to step into the hard stuff? You know, the stuff that looks like long suffering, knowing that it's going to produce something in me in regards to perseverance and character that I can't produce on my own. So those are not like exciting things. But I think what I'm learning is, man, if we don't talk about the truth of it, then we end up sidestepping the hard stuff and
it'll show up.
It'll show up.
It'll show up later or whatever that looks like.
Yep. Yeah, and it has. I mean, you know, you talk about vulnerability, but it has in my life. I mean, when stress comes for me, I could immediately, and not just me, but those around me, they could tell you, hey, here's three things that I think and are questionable, Cody, that you need to address in your life. And that comes through stress. It comes through being overwhelmed. It comes through life, you know, knocking you down. And then you end up, yeah, I mean, golly, the masking that we do to cover the stress and everything else is just super unhealthy. If we're not careful, we end up really regretting that path. And I've been down it, and so I'm like, I'm not going down it again if I can help it. And I gotta figure out ways to not get down that road, and then look back and go, dang it, man, I wish I would have fed my spirit, my soul. I wish I would have fed it the healthier things than the things that the world offers. So.
Well, that's just a little bit of a nugget for you.
Love that. Sorry, you should have got me talking. I'm a preacher, Ryan. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful you were on. Guys, experience hope.city. Yep. Check out more. Just such good things. We want you to feed into your spiritual life. God could do amazing things. It is, there is testimony after testimony of just some amazing things that are beyond our comprehension, and really beyond our control. And I'm one that tries to control things, maybe too much. And I've been learning a lot better to let go and allow God to, Jesus, take the wheel.
You need singing.
But I loved having you on. Thank you for sharing, guys. I hope this was helpful and just kind of will allow you to figure out some things that you can start stepping into in 2024 in your faith journey, your spiritual life. And man, we've got the best in the game here in our city and right here in our studios. Thank you for being.
Hey, thanks, Ryan. And man, thanks for what you do for our city as well. Now you've been a good friend. So and you're helping people like me figure out where the heck to live. So appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Insert Name Here podcast. Next month, we've got some good things coming. It'll be February. And I guess I'm going to lay out a teaser here, Andrew. We're going to be renaming this podcast. So I think it's good to end this podcast with on a high note with an amazing person. Stay tuned for our new name. It's coming soon, and we're excited to launch it. See you later. God bless.